He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners to show. What He did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Good morning. Welcome to Spring Valley Bible Church. We're in the midst of studying at this session for Ephesians chapter 1. Let's begin with a word of prayer. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the God that You are, that You love us, and that, Heavenly Father, You made Yourself known to us. You provided the way of salvation through the death of Your Son and the imputation of righteousness. You have taken care of us in our life by giving us Your power of Your Spirit. What an awesome God You are. And Father, we just praise You for Your kindness and thoughtfulness. Pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, good morning. I have a few prayer requests this morning. First of all, I'd like to pray, make you aware of the prayer for Nick Daig. Now, Nick's been going through this for several months now, and he is in need of your prayers. This past week, he had two or three IVs. Now, the prayer request is kind of like a twofold. First of all, the success of the IVs, and they are working, but slowly. And secondly, the pain. Now, when his dad told me about the pain of the IVs, I understood perfectly. I don't like shots. I've been receiving shots for probably 75 years of my life, 78 years of my life. I still don't like them. And when they draw blood out, that's really bad. Now you're really pressing it. So I could only imagine for young Nick getting IVs through the week. So let's pray for the pain related to the IVs and the cure. Let's pray for him to get healthier and healthier each passing day. Now, staying with the Daigle family, Cameron Daigle, most of you know very well, and his wife, live down in Bryan College Station. Ooh, go Aggies, Bryan College Station. And they're both looking for new jobs. So please be in prayer. This is important. You know it's important. Where we work, that type of thing is important. Got to bring in the shekels, take care of the bills. So please be in prayer for Cameron and his wife, and the Lord will lead them to good jobs in Bryan College Station. Next, let's be in prayer for Debbie Langston. Now, Debbie was in a severe automobile wreck this week, totaled her car. Thankfully, she was not severely hurt. She's in a lot of physical pain, the joints and the shock and everything of the body, so she's in a lot of pain. But be thankful that it was not anything severe in the wreck, and just be in prayer for her, her recovery, the people involved in the wreck, that everything will go as smoothly as possible. Continue being in prayer for Cindy Edwards, our faithful member in Wichita Falls, Texas. Please be in prayer for my friend Mick. We pray for Mickey a lot of times. Be in prayer for Mick down in South Texas. He needs your prayers. Now, as to offering, I know money's tight. Cameron and his wife are looking for jobs. And I know a lot of you, right now your shekels are tight. So, I understand that. But if all possible, add a few shekels for our church. The expenses are to just keep there. See? The only thing that is decreed by us not being able to meet together is Sunday donuts, because we buy more of them. But the internet, and now we have YouTube, and Facebook, all these things, missionaries, all this type of thing. And so if you're so inclined, have a few shekels, here's the address, Spring Valley Bible Church, Post Office Box, 833-007. 007 ought to be able to remember. 833-007, Richardson, Texas, 75083. 75083. That's Spring Valley Bible Church, Post Office Box, 833-007, Richardson, Texas, 75083. So please bear that in mind. Now, before we move into our study, we all know and get daily reports of people around the world who are dying of coronavirus. I pray for them. That's somebody's mother, dad, daughter, son, brother, sister, these type of things. But I want to remind you of something. People are dying around the world just because they're Christians. In the Reason magazine, Voice of the Martyrs, they have a lot of stories. I just like to pick one to orient you to things going on. In India, pastor beheaded by communist. Members of India's next elite political group have killed another evangelist in India's Odisha state, O-D-I-S-H-A state. Pastor Savna, S-A-A-N-V-I, had shared the gospel in villages near his home for the past 6 years as a bivocational minister, even planning house churches in two of the villages. Though members of the local group, the Communist Party group, who subscribes to a Marxist-Lenin political philosophy. Oh, people, I just wished you Americans would read Marxists and Leninists and read what communism is about, because that's where we're headed. We voted communists into our Senate, into our Congress. We had a communist running for president. And people have the wrong idea of what communism is. Wake up, America. Wake up. Learn from history right here. Okay. Who holds to the Nexalite, N-A-X-A-L-I-T-E group, who subscribe to a Marxist-Leninist political philosophy, have repeatedly warned him to stop his ministry work. He continued to tell his neighbors about Jesus Christ, and why shouldn't we? Why should we stop telling somebody about the Lord? Then one evening, the Naxalites appeared at Senov's door and told him to follow them. Sensing something was wrong, his wife, Sasha, S-A-I-S-H-A, followed at a distance carrying their two children. When she saw her husband tied to a tree, she began pleading with them to let him go. But instead, they beheaded him in front of her and her children. Wake up to what communism is about. In February 2019, Nexalites state beheaded a father of five because of his Christian faith. Anat Ron had been a Christian for only 9 months before the Nexalites killed him at the request of the local extremist. India's military often targets Nexalite in the country's more literal tribal areas because the government considers them to be terrorists. Christians are often caught in the crossfire, becoming casualties in ongoing battle. There's another one on Vietnam. Christians receive audio Bibles. There's another one in Algiers, another one in Jordan. Christians forced to flee the country. I know we've got to pray for those who have coronavirus, but I urge you to pray for Christians who are suffering just because they're Christians. Jews suffering just because they're Jews. Pray for them. People, according to Galatians chapter 3, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. These people are close to you. The pastor I just read to you is closer to you than some of your family members who are not even believers. He is one of your brothers in Christ. You will be with him for all eternity. He was beheaded in front of his family just because he was a Christian. Wake up, America. Value your freedom. Pray for the military who are not at home this time and are out, subject to coronavirus, subject to enemy attack. Pray for them. Pray for our freedom. Pray that we don't lose any more as a result of the coronavirus. Now let's begin with our study in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. And we're going to begin with a word of prayer. It's not a ritual prayer. It's a very important prayer. It's time for you to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. True teacher is not me. True teacher is the Holy Spirit. So be sure you're empowered by the Spirit as we study the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we need Thee. We need Thee every hour. There's so much going on in the world. A deadly virus circumferencing the whole world. Anti-Christianity, anti-Semitism, tornadoes, earthquakes, storms, plagues, swarms of locusts. All these are now a reality throughout the world. Things are happening in history. But Heavenly Father, we are live right now. In our homes, in our work, and So, Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. They just made a new poll. I want to share with you some of the things that they recorded. Over 50% of Americans do not believe Jesus' humanity and deity. That was settled in the 3rd century. But you see, this is not something you can pass on. This is something each individual has to make up their own mind about Jesus Christ, taught by prepared pastor. Next, the Holy Spirit is not a living entity, but just the expression of the power of God. I'm trying to get people to be empowered by the Spirit. I guess I ought to better start getting you to believe in the Holy Spirit and then be empowered by Him, by faith. It's just amazing. A lot of preachers preach, oh, you get empowered by the Spirit by something you do. Confession, repentance, healing. See? No, people, it's by faith alone. For by grace through faith, applies to Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit. And this is frightening. The increasing number of people that don't even believe in God anymore. What is happening is becoming a self-focused, no longer focused on God, a self-focus. See? And boy, another one, no more absolutes in morality. No absolutes in morality. And that doesn't surprise me. No absolutes in marriage, no absolutes in family, no absolutes in rearing children, no absolutes in moral conduct, no absolutes about adultery, fornication, promiscuity, homosexuality, on and on and on. No absolutes. God doesn't care if I even believe in a God. And then the last thing is, don't know, don't care. And if they go to church at all, that's the kind of preacher they want. They don't want one who studies and teaches the Word of God. They don't know and they don't care to know. People, America's in trouble. You better pray for America, but wake up yourself to the urgency of the time. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, coming off of verse 4, in love, verse 5, in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. People, this is a wonderful wording by the Holy Spirit. It glorifies God in so many different ways. His love, His glory, His kindness, His grace. Then His actions, predestinated, adopted, freely bestowed on us. He did all these things, all these blessings, through His Son, Jesus the Christ. He did all these blessings for Himself, for His glory. This is the running theme through the whole Bible. This is the whole story of Jesus Christ. The whole Bible is a record of all that God does and is doing and will do for His glory. You can either be benefited by it, by believing it, by faith, and acting upon it, or refusing it. Note what Jesus declared in His prayer in John 17. Now, I'm coming off of what we just read. So look at John 17 a moment, verse 1. John 17:1. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up His eyes to heaven. People, if Jesus Christ prays, we should pray. He said, Father, and you can call Him Father because you're in Christ, the hour has come, crucifixion for the judgment of all sins of the world. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Friends, we are here to glorify God the Father, God the Son, in and through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. verse 7, verse 2, verse chapter 17, even as you gave himself authority over, even as you, God, gave him, Jesus Christ, your Son, authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. That's anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 4, I, Jesus Christ, glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do, sinless life, crucifixion. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, resurrection, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. People, we belong to Christ. We belong to Jesus Christ. And they have kept your word, kept the gospel, faith in Christ alone. Now they have come to know that everything you've given me is from you. For the words which you have given me, gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them by faith, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. There is so much in Ephesians 1, 5 and 6. I suppose it would not be a shadow of a doubt I could spend the rest of the year just on those verses. There is so much there. We can study, we studied the love of God, we studied predestination, we studied adoption. Now, sons, we can study that. Jesus Christ, study that. According to the kind intention of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, study the doctrine of His grace and to His glory, freely bestowed on them in the beloved. Study the beloved. Okay, there's so much. Let's take a look now. In Ephesians chapter 1, in love, the end of verse 4. We studied the love of God. You see the Ephesians PDF file for December the 8th, 2019. We studied the love of God. And by the way, that's the same love that's poured through you when you're in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the most remarkable thing about the love of God, it's the same love that put His Son on a cross that flows through you and through me when you are empowered by the Spirit by grace through faith. He predestined. You can get this one on a PDF file in Ephesians on the internet, Spring Valley Bible Church. Listen, and then go to the first service on Sunday morning, Ephesians, PDF file. As to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, the study of adoption is also available on PDF file for April the 19th, 2020. Kit put it on there for you. You can look at it, print it up from the PDF file, whatever you like. Now, and by the way, I hate to tell you this right now because I don't want anyone just to leave, walk out of church right now. We're having worship service. But you can get this morning's message on PDF file on Ephesians chapter 1, dated today. So, according to the kindness, to the kind intention of His will. Now, I want to share something with you. Here's where I had trouble sitting at my desk. I had to spend a lot of time in prayer here. My dilemma, do I get through the study of Ephesians? No, do we go on and get through chapter 1 at least? Or do I teach you the riches that are in it? For an example, do we pause here and learn of the kindness of God? As I went through some of the verses that we're going to look at, it became quite clear to me that you should be ever mindful of the kindness of God. So we're going to stop. We're going to pause. We're going to study the kindness of God. You need to know it. It's not just a matter of knowing Ephesians. I want you to know the gold and silver, the coins of richness that are in it. That's what's beautiful. So let's study the kindness of God. The first thing we need to know about the kindness of God is the question, are you benefited by the kindness of God? Are you benefited by the kindness of God? God is kind. Are you benefited by His kindness? We saw this with the love of God. Are you benefited by His love? In this manner, God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But if you don't believe, you're not benefited by His love. Well, we're going to find the same thing is true with His kindness. Are you benefited by His kindness? See? Not everyone is benefited by His love, because not everyone believes in Jesus Christ. Not everyone is benefited by His kindness, but it's there for everyone. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness? Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But as we will see in verse 5, not everyone is benefited by the kindness of God. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. If you don't respond to His kindness, benefited by it in time, you'll suffer the consequences in eternity. Now, with those two points of introduction, I want to move to a little point by point. I like to do that. Some preachers do, some preachers don't. I like to go by points because it forms our thought process. Now, kindness. Point one. Everyone who rejects the love and kindness of God will stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment after the millennium, where they will not be judged for sins. Jesus Christ bore all the judgment for sins on the cross. They will be there and judged because of the rejection of the love and kindness of God. That is, refusing to believe in His Son, whom He, out of His love and kindness, sent to bear the judgment of the sins of the world. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Point two. What is kindness? What is kindness? It's kind of a difficult word to define. If we were in a seminary classroom, I'd say, all right, I want every one of you take a piece of paper out and on one page, part of a page, define kindness. And I'd say to you, how would you define kindness in your mind? There are several Hebrew and Greek words in the Old and New Testament used for kindness of God. People often have contempt for kindness in life or think lightly of it. Passage we just read, Romans 2:4. This means that many people, including Christians, do not want to be kind, except when they need kindness. Or, if they are kind, maybe they're kind to a little animal, kind to an old person. See? Be kind to an old person. Be kind to a little animal. But kindness in life, no. Don't need it. Kindness is not weakness, but is an indication of inner strength. Kindness is a thought and action in order to fulfill a purpose or a desired goal or the stimulated by spiritual love. Love is kind. Continuing, kindness is an action from God marked by a pleasant disposition and concern and consideration for others. Kindness is an action from God marked by a pleasant disposition and concern and consideration for others. The kindness of God is motivated by His love. In love. And then we follow things that happen in verse 5. God loves, and His love sees a need. And out of His kindness, He meets that need. The actions of the kindness of God are useful and edifying. Kindness is neither earned nor deserved. It's not earned. It's not deserved. We don't earn the kindness of God. We don't deserve it either. When you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, by faith, your love will also be kind. It is my hope that when we have finished this brief study on the kindness of God, that you'll be so overwhelmed by the kindness of God that you will want to imitate it by the power of the Spirit in your own life. You'll just be overwhelmed with how kindness of God affects your life. That's why I want to spend today on it. Point 3. Kindness is directed toward others, and therefore is a relational word. Relational. Parent to child, husband to wife to husband, brother to sister, people in the church, whatever. A study of the Greek words for kindness will show that kindness refers specifically to a response to a circumstance of others. You see a circumstance or difficulty they're in. And in most cases, that relationship is one of conflict, adversity, stress, sadness, some handicap. Therefore, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we are never said to be kind to God. How about that? You don't treat God in grace, and you don't give Him kindness. You give grace, you give kindness to other people. See? You know, we never are told to be kind to God. He doesn't need your kindness. But other members of the human race need it every day. Point 4. The definitive passage on kindness is found in Psalm 136. So you want to be opening your Bibles to 136 if you haven't printed out the message. Psalm 136, where it occurs some 26 times. And it tells us that God's kindness and His love are eternal. Time and eternity will be recipients of His kindness. This is such a beautiful and informative chapter, letting us know that God's kindness and faithfulness are the foundation of His character and His actions, that I couldn't pass it up. So let's open your Bibles to Psalm 136. Verse 1. I love the way it starts. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, let's take a look at the word everlasting. Not just kindness. The NASB translates this loving kindness. The King James translates it the word mercy. The NIV, love. Other translations, faithful love, steadfast love, loving devotion, gracious love, loyal love, simply kindness. All of these are an attempt to translate the rich Hebrew word chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. People, I want you to know something. There are books written just on chesed. Just the one word, chesed. Books. I've got about 3 or 4 myself, written just on this one word. So, from the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the Old Testament, quote, a masculine noun, describing and defining chesed, a masculine noun indicating kindness, loving kindness, mercy, goodness, faithfulness, love, and acts of kindness. See, chesed is one of the words that's used just for love. But it adds to the dimension of love, like the expression of the love, kindness, compassion, this kind of thing. You try to come up with one word that involves all these virtues. It's difficult. The lexicon goes on to say, this quote, this aspect of God, is one of several important features of His character, truth, faithfulness, mercy, steadfastness, justice, righteousness, goodness. All in one word. Very difficult to translate Hebrew into English, Greek into English. I'm afraid if I tried it, you'd have about a 10-volume for the Bible. Alright? Now, verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Here we learn that God's kindness is everlasting and eternal. Verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting, unequaled is God. There is no other God, people. Verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His love is everlasting. Now, verses 4 through 9, wondrous acts of creation related to His kindness. Verse 4, to Him who alone does great wonders, for His kindness, His love, His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the heavens with skill, His loving kindness is everlasting. His love, His kindness, everlasting. Verse 5, or verse 6, to Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His loving kindness is everlasting. His kindness is involved in His creation. People, just take the human body. What unbelievable kindness. Cooling system, waste removal system, heating system, eyes, ears, nose, throat, liver, kidneys, on and on and on. This is an unbelievable machine. I don't fault doctors for not understanding everything about it. They didn't make it. My goodness, I take my car to some mechanics and they can't figure out what's wrong with it, and we made the car. Ooh. You caught that, huh? Alright. We made it. They didn't understand it. I don't have no problem with that. But the human body especially. We didn't make it. They're learning about it. COVID-19, I understand there has 30 strands. 30 strands of COVID-19. Put that on the doctor's docket. Now, verse 7. To Him who made the great lights, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, His loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and the stars to rule by night, His loving kindness is everlasting. Verses 10 through 15, His kindness in delivering His people from powerful Egyptians. I want you to think about when God takes you through dilemmas. Nick, Cameron, Cindy Edwards, Debbie Langston, you, me, when we go through different things, it's His kindness. You ever thanked Him for His kindness? Thank you, God, for getting me through this. How about knowing Him? Thanking Him personally. Let's look at this. Verse 10. To Him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for His loving kindness is everlasting, and brought Israel out from their midst, for His kindness is everlasting. Just to give it another word. Verse 12. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, His love is everlasting. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for His loving kindness is everlasting. He made Israel pass through the midst of it. His kindness is everlasting. But He overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His kindness is everlasting. Verses 16 through 26. The great acts of His people demonstrate His kindness. Look at verse 16. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him, look at the things that God did for his people, out of his kindness. We often say his love, his grace, his plan, his kindness. Know him. To him who smote great kings, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And slew mighty kings, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Shion, king of the Amorites, for his love is everlasting. Og, king of Bashan, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And gave their land as a heritage, for his kindness is everlasting. Even a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his love is everlasting. Who remembered us in our estate? When his kindness is most needed, he's there, he's faithful to extend that kindness, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 24, and has rescued us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who gives food to all flesh. Thank you, God, for this food. How about making it personal? Thank you for your kindness for this food. Thank you for your kindness, see, for this food. Verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Thanks to him. Now that brings us to point 5. Ways to think of the kindness of God are the richness of his kindness. We are saved by the kindness of Christ. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. His kindness is described as marvelous. Psalm 31, 21. Psalm 17, 7. His kindness is described as everlasting. Isaiah 54, 8. Psalm 118, 2. His kindness is described as great toward us. Psalm 117, 2. His kindness is described as good. Psalm 69, 16. His kindness is described as precious. Psalm 36, 7. We know God by his kindness. Psalm 107, 43. How about that? We know God by his kindness. When you teach your children, when you teach somebody about God, don't forget his kindness. Psalm 48, 9. Or that was Psalm 89:33. Now, we are to think continuously on his kindness. Psalm 48:9. Think continuously. Think every day of the kindness of God. Kindness of God always comes through his Son. It's always through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:7. We'll study that. God may become angry at us for a while, but his everlasting kindness moves him to show compassion. A beautiful verse, Isaiah 54, 8, especially if you're under some form of discipline. Kindness of God is never utterly removed from believers. Isaiah 54, 10. He will never remove his kindness, and don't you let anyone tell you he's removed his kindness from you just because you've sinned in some way that offends them. Don't do that. It's a terrible thing. We are to tell others of his kindness. Beautiful. Tell others of his kindness. Psalm 92:2, Isaiah 63:7, Psalm 40:10. Now, if you're not able to get all these passages down, these are on our internet, our interweb, on the internet, under the PDF file. You can print it up and have all these verses right there in front of you. We should ever be mindful of his kindness all the time. Psalm 48:7. Psalm 26:3. His kindness is to be regarded as precious. Psalm 36:7. Even when we fail, God is kind toward us. Nehemiah 9:17. We are drawn to God by his kindness. Drawn to him because he's kind. Romans 2:4-5. Jeremiah 31:3. I love that. Teach your sons and daughters that. You want someone to be attracted to your son and daughter because they're rich, because they're talented, because they're beautiful, because they're handsome, because they're... No. Because they're kind. And their future husband and wife will be attracted to that kindness. Just as we are drawn to God by His kindness. We will receive His kindness for all eternity. People, He will never stop showing us His kindness in time or eternity. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. God crowns the believer with His kindness. Psalm 103, verse 4. We belong to God in His perfect righteousness and kindness. One thing I've learned in this study, kindness is often related to faithfulness. Kindness is often related to righteousness of God. And then finally, we are preserved by the kindness of God. Psalm 40:10. Eternal life due to His kindness. Now, point six. Making this a separate point, line of thought on the kindness of God. I want to talk to you for a few moments about the kindness of God and your prayer life. Kindness of God and your prayers. Let's go through them. Pray to be comforted by His kindness. People, what I want to show you, I want you to know Him. I want you to know, let Him know you know Him. Don't just say, God, help me. God, I know Your sovereignty. I know Your kindness. I know Your love. I know Your faithfulness. On these bases, I ask you this. We are to be comforted by the kindness of God. And here I'm not just going to give you the passage. I want to read them with you. Psalm 119, verse 76. Oh, may Your loving kindness comfort me. According to Your word, to Your servant. If you know the background of Psalm 119, he's in trouble. Severe trouble. May Your loving kindness comfort me. Have you ever prayed that? Let Your kindness comfort me today, Father. I need it. Man is against me. My people are against me. My friends, family. I need Your kindness today. Pray that He would receive... Or he would revive you according to His loving kindness. People, we get down. Sadness, depression, these kind of things, anxiety, over all this stuff going on with coronavirus. Don't lose. I know time is wearing on thin on a lot of people. Even the more so, you should spend your time together in prayer, play Bible games with your children, read the Bible and study the Bible together with your family. Don't begrudge the time. Redeem the time. Now, we should pray that we would be revived according to His kindness. Psalm 119 again, verse 88. Revive me. Before, comfort me. Revive me according to Your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of Your mouth. People, you want to enrich your prayer life? You want your prayers to be personal between you and God? Then pray to Him according to His essence, His attributes, His character. Let Him know that you know Him. Why you're coming to Him. You know He is kind and compassionate. Not just love, but kind and compassionate. Appeal to Him on the basis of His kindness. Not because you earn or deserve it. See? But because He is kind. See, you don't earn His comfort or His being revived from the difficulties of life. Which sounds better to you? Oh God, help me! Or, oh God, may Your loving kindness comfort me this day, this night, through this battle. Which sounds more appealing to God? I love the movie The Sound of My Fair Lady. At the beginning, Richard he sings a song, and he talks about how not to offend God in your prayers with your language. Don't offend Him. And he starts talking about the richness of English. And I love the phrase, it has nothing to do with our study, but I love the phrase where he says, where in America they haven't spoken it for years. But his idea is you talk to God in knowable and understandable language. He's God. Talk to Him. Appeal to Him in your prayer life based on who and what He is. Not just on your needs. Not just on your needs, but on who and what He is. Pray that God will be gracious to you according to His kindness. How about that? Not just gracious, but gracious according to His kindness. Psalm 51:1. Do you know what Psalm 51 is about? That's a pretty tough chapter. Pretty tough psalm. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgression. What's this prayer about? It's a prayer by David after Nathan had awakened David to what he had done when he took Bathsheba, who was married to another man. See? And when David was awakened by all of this, he prays that God will be gracious to him according to God's kindness, not because he earns or deserves it. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgression, as horrible as it was. Blot it out because of your loving kindness. Pray to Him to hear your prayers by your kindness. You ever thought about that? Why should God listen? We say, well, my mom and dad have to listen. They're my parents. No, they don't. God doesn't have to listen either. Listen to this prayer. Psalm 119 again. Verse 149. Hear my voice. Hear my voice. I'm praying to you, God. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Have you ever thought why God should listen to your prayers? Well, don't be occupied with yourself. This is why some people don't even pray. I'm not worthy to pray to God. People pray to God on the basis of who and what He is, not on the basis of who and what we are. None of us deserve it. Pray to Him on the basis of who He is. Because He's kind, He will listen to our prayers. God, I have a severe prayer. I want to pray for my wife, my husband, my child, my church, friends, people, work, whatever. It's serious, God. Please hear me according to your kindness. I don't earn or deserve it, but your kindness, out of that, hear my prayer. Pray He will answer your prayers according to His kindness, not just because you prayed, but answer them. Why should God answer your prayers? Psalm 69:16. Answer me. Now, a while ago, He just hear me. Now He says, answer me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good, according to the greatness of your compassion. Turn to me, because you're a kind God. Pray for the continuance of His loving kindness toward you. You were loving kind yesterday, be that today. You protected me from coronavirus yesterday, protect me today out of your kindness. Psalm 36:10. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright heart. Okay. Today in the church age, this refers to those who walk by the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you truly hurt, I mean hurt in life, you want so much for His kindness to continue. People, we don't think about it when everything's going fine. We should, but don't. But let some disaster happen. I need your kindness today. I need it continually. Don't let me go a day without your kindness, God, please. That shows Him you know Him. This next one is very important to your prayer life. Very important. Give thanks and praise for his kindness. We talked about praying to him according to it. Revive me, comfort me, listen to my prayers, all these things. Thank him. Isaiah 63:7. I shall make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted me, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his kindness. Didn't earn or deserve it, neither do we. People, I hope you'll thank God and praise God in your prayers, that you relate your thanksgiving and your praise not just to what he's done for you, but for who he is, for his loving kindness. Psalm 138:2. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word according to all your name. Give thanks to God. Not only that he has done what he's done for you in your life, but for who and what he is. Let him know you know who and what he is. A husband or wife that love their spouse? Do you ever go tired of just saying, thank you? Thank you for doing this. Thank you for understanding. I'm afraid I tell my wife all the time, thank you for your patience of putting up with me. Because I know I wouldn't put up with me. I had to put up with myself when I was a bachelor. I do. I thank her. You can ask her. I thank her for putting up with me. I don't know why you do it. And she says something like, I don't know either. What about God? Do you know him that well? You know your wife that well. You know your husband that well. You know your parents that well. Do you know God that well? That you feel free in saying, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your kindness today in this and this and this. Say, thank him. Give thanks to God not only for what he has done for you in life, but for his kindness and faithfulness to his very name. Psalm 31:21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. Besieged city is a tumultuous time, like coronavirus. Coronavirus is our besieged city now. Blessed be the Lord, for he's made marvelous his loving kindness. Learn to pray to him, people. I made this separate just for prayer and our prayers to him related to his kindness. Psalm 63:3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. How about that? Your kindness is better than life. How about that for praise of God's kindness? People, you'll receive the kindness of God for all eternity. We can pray for his loving kindness in time of trouble. Psalm 42:8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to God of my life. Okay, people, I hope you are sensing how personal, how humble, how marvelous your prayers can be to God. Where you sit and think and pray to him. Personal knowledge. Attributes. Of all that he is. In Psalm 63:3, we heard a prayer where God's loving kindness is better than life itself. Now in Psalm 42:8, we learn that God is his life. Is God your life? Is he really? Is his kindness better than life to you? Only you can answer that. Only you. Psalm 17:7. Wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior, of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise up against them. Now, here he's asking not just for the loving kindness of God, but that he would reveal it wondrously. How about that? I know you're kind. I need you to reveal it wondrously today. That's a bona fide prayer. In the power of the Spirit, knowing God, I know you're kind. I need it to be demonstrated wondrously today. Today is a great battle. I need your kindness. Oh my God. Make your prayers personal. Make your prayers powerful. He can and He will. It may take some time, but as you grow in His Word and pray often to Him, according to who and what He is, people, you'll become bold in your prayers to Him. You'll become bold. You'll become very personal. He will be a personal friend of yours. Now here is one that is important. If you love and care about others, we can pray for God to show kindness to others. That's why I ask you to be in prayer. I ask you to be in prayer for Nick. I ask you to be in prayer for my friend, pastor friend Jody Brown in Atlanta, Indiana. He and his wife both are suffering from coronavirus. Pray that God will be kind to them. Let's look at Genesis 24:12. He said, O Lord, the God of my master, Abraham, please grant me success today and show kindness to my master. See? Grant me success, show kindness to another. How about that? Have you ever prayed for God to show kindness to somebody? Be with Him. But what about letting God you know? I know you're kind, God, and today Jody and Kim Brown need your kindness. They need your compassion, your healing. I know you love Nick, God, but today he needs your kindness. He hurts. See, that's knowing God. I know you pray for others, but have you ever prayed that God will show kindness to them? Your children, your parents, your grandparents, someone you love, someone in this church, Debbie Langston, hurting. God, show her kindness. He's the pain of her body. Thank God to show His kindness to them. 2 Samuel 2:6. Now may the Lord show loving kindness and truth to you. What a great prayer. Put that on your refrigerator. Put that on your refrigerator. Put that in your soul. Now may the Lord show loving kindness and truth to you. And I also will show this goodness to you because you have done this thing. That's in the passage concept, but the word that I want to deal with is show loving kindness to someone else. It's a bona fide prayer. Learn to pray that. Learn to have an intimate relationship with God, the Father. So much that you can pray this way. Father, there are Christians in India suffering today. There are Christians in Nigeria suffering today. There are Christians in North Korea suffering today. Oh God, please show kindness. Show compassion. Let them know that you're a God of kindness today. Learn to pray according to His kindness. Husbands, have you ever prayed that God would show His kindness toward your wife? Wives, have you ever prayed that God will show His loving kindness to your husband? People, we cut ourselves so short by not increasing the richness of our prayers. We cut ourselves so short by not increasing the richness of our prayers. We should pray for His kindness each day. Psalm 143:8. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for in you I lift up my soul. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. Begin the day with your loving kindness. I don't know about you. Everybody has their own way of praying. Nobody's right or wrong. I have not prayed that God will protect my wife and I from coronavirus for the whole duration. I pray each night when I get in bed, protect us this night. I pray every morning by myself in my office. I pray every morning that God will protect my wife and I. Just today, Sunday, from coronavirus. And then I thank Him at the end of the day if there's no signs of it. I thank Him. Pray for His kindness every day. Those of you who make it a point to pray every day, ask God to show you His loving kindness every day. He does not grow tired of hearing that prayer. We should never grow tired of giving that prayer. In difficult times, we can pray that God will show His loving kindness. People, we're suffering difficult times as a world, as a nation right now, as a community, as a family. Psalm 25:6. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been of old. I'm not asking for anything new. I'm not asking for you to do something today you've not been doing for all eternity. Be kind today to me, to this person, family, whatever. Maybe you or someone in your family has coronavirus. How are you going to ask God to come to your or their aid? Appeal to Him based on what He is, how He has acted through history, Old Testament, church age. Appeal to Him based on His compassion, His loving kindness. He is revealed through all history. I pray every day for my friend Jody and his wife Kim Brown. I don't go tired. Pray every day. I pray every day for my step-grandson. He has to work at the city jail in Dallas. Coronavirus is ripping through there. Pray for my granddaughter. She's a nurse, has to deal with coronavirus people. Pray every day. Protect them. Now I've added this greatness from this. People, I've been influenced by this study. I hope you are. Just in my study of this, I have overwhelmed the ears of God with my acknowledgement and praying for His kindness, His compassion. Be kind today to these people. Psalm 89:49. Where are you, former? Where are your former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Now, here's another dimension of your prayers. First, the writer includes past history. I know past history. I know your loving kindness in the past. Then he includes the loving kindness of God with His faithfulness. See? For David. So he's familiarizing God with that. Please remember in your prayers that God's loving kindness often goes with His faithfulness, His compassion, His truth, His righteousness. Involve them all. Just overwhelm God with your knowledge of who and what He is in your secret prayer life. You've always been loving kind and you've always had compassion. I need it today. They need it today, someone I'm praying for. I need your loving kindness. I need it today. I'm not asking for anything new. You've demonstrated in the past you do this. I'm asking for you to do it now. And then never forget that the kindness of God is poured to us through the power of His Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So, you will demonstrate kindness. We've been talking about getting it from God. You can demonstrate kindness in your home, in your life, your family, church, wherever you go. You can demonstrate kindness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bestow your loving kindness on all those listening to this study, is my prayer, that they may know that in their life, you are a God of compassion, you're a God of loving kindness. That's my prayer for you. That this study has invigorated you as it has me. I couldn't pass this up. I couldn't just say the kindness of God in verse 5 of Ephesians 1. I hope you understand that now, why I couldn't do it. We haven't gotten very far in verse 5, but we've been enriched by what we have learned. Let's close in a word of prayer. See you Wednesday night in our study of Ezekiel, God's plan for the future. 7 o'clock. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that you will bestow your loving kindness on everyone who's listening to this study, that your Spirit will cause them to know that in their life you are a God of loving kindness and compassion, and that they will be drawn to you the stronger, the closer now. They will take these verses and study them, pray over them, look at them daily. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And I do pray you'll download this study so that you have these verses. You can read them daily, maybe a couple of them a day. Study them and think about them. See you Wednesday night. Thank you.